Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Brains podcast. We are up to round 7, and I think a bit of good news this week for both of our teams. We actually cracked 800 for the first time this season. I'm joined by Josh, as always. Josh, mate, how many ranks did you jump up this week? Because I'm pretty happy. I got up 10K, so yeah, cheering for sure.
Cheering for sure. I didn't go up that many. I kind of honestly just broke even with mine, but I was looking really, really nice until bloody Fogarty came out on Sunday night and put on an absolute masterclass. So he's one that I don't have on my team. Kind of hurt me, but it's going along. It's nice to have more than 17 green dots this week. It's a weird luxury that I'm not used to in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, getting a few guys like Galvin and stuff back has made my team look a lot nicer coming into week 7.
Yeah, and having the 3 trades as well has meant that I can do a bit of reshuffling and actually, you know, build up a bit of cash to bring in a gun instead of just trading around cheapies for the last 4 weeks. It's been pretty much rough going, especially considering I held Cleary for so long, and I'm contemplating trading him this week just because he's out, even though he's coming back next week. I'm gonna do it though. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna do it, but we'll see how we go. Let's see if you can change my mind throughout the pod tonight. But before we get into the teams, I might start with just some questions for you about players that have dropped a bit of cash. So we're looking at those players that have, you know, started at, you know, the higher 600-700Ks, even maybe 500 even, and have dropped, you know, 50, 100, 200K over the course of the start of the, last 6 rounds. So I might pose them to you and just get your take on, you know, whether you see them as a potential option or whether they're just too far gone at this point. I might start with Nikora from the Sharks. What are your thoughts on him? He's dropped a fair bit of cash since the start of the season, probably due to, you know, Hines being a bit average. I think he's down 100K. Your take on him.
Pretty interested, honestly. Like, I think, you know, there are a lot of people going Angus Crichton or these other guys this week. I think if you've got an extra, you know, 100 and a bit K, he's a definite option in that second row or edge spot as well. He's shown the last couple of years that he's, yeah, in that kind of high 50s, 60s average usually. Had a bit of a weird start to the season, but 58 points on the weekend, I think he can kind of bounce back and make that money up again. I don't think you have to do it this week. Probably you can probably wait and give him another week, but he's one that is high on the radar for me.
Yeah, break even at 55 this week. I suppose you're right there. You can give him another week, and if he hits that, you know, mid 50 score, then he might be one to jump on next week once he bottoms out pretty much. What about Mo Fodawaka from the Titans? I guess with Tino gone, he looms as a potential beneficiary, but it seems like, you know, some of the other forwards might be benefiting a bit more than him at the moment. He's dropped 124K since the start of the season at 535K currently. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, apparently it's just Jamin Jolliffe season.
Yeah.
Scoring meat pies. He got like a 70-odd on the weekend. I've got a pretty keen eye on Mo Fod as well because, yeah, as you say, no Tino. There's minutes to be had in this forward pack, and he's, I don't know. You look at this forward pack and you think, oh, Mo Fod is the best player in this forward pack. He should be getting bulk minutes. He just hasn't had the form, it seems, so far this year. But I think it's coming. Maybe, you know, some looming origin type stuff. He wants to get back into that team. He's also pretty high on my radar, but also probably not one I'm going this week. I just look out for.
Yeah, he's always the one that performs really, really well in that like month leading into Origin to get selected in the squad. So yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on at his current price because it's just dropping pretty rapidly. But I guess we'll talk about Randall and Jolliffe when we get to the Titans team as well. I guess DCE is another one that has dropped quite far and in the last couple of weeks has bounced back a little bit. I think he was down about 120K, I think I put on the Patreon a week or two ago. And since the last 2 scores in the 80s, he's jumped up again another 60-odd K. So he's kind of bounced back a little bit already, which is a bit unfortunate, but he's still down on his previous average. What are your thoughts around DCE?
Yeah, interested also on DCE. He's coming to that point where he's, yeah, he's hitting his form again. So I think if you've got the cash, I'd be pretty interested in bringing him in. It's hard too because you've got guys like Cleary, you've got guys like SJ who are also killing at the moment. But he's obviously underpriced, so you're getting a good deal on him if you've got it. And he's got, yeah, his last two scores, 86, 81. Admittedly, there's some tries and attacking stats in there. But now he's got the goal kicking as well with Garrick out, which is handy extra, you know, 6 to 10 points each week. So, and what, they've got the Titans this week, Manly? You could see him having another pretty big score.
I guess Garrick is back, Eagles, though.
Raiders, Dolphins.
Yeah. So. Good fixtures, but yeah, Garrick back this week. He'll lose the kicking. Likely he'll lose the kicking. But I think those attacking stats aren't unattainable for DCE. Like, obviously the tries he's not going to get every week, but he should be getting, you know, try assists and a few tackle busts, line break assists and stuff like that every game normally. And when you look at his stats from the past seasons, there's no reason why he can't keep that up. Okay, so I guess another one before we get into the teams that I want to get your take on is Corey Waddell. Now, with Burbo out for the next, I think, 3 to 4 weeks, depending on that, you know, it's a hamstring injury and he's had some recurring injuries, hamstring injuries in the past, so could be out even longer. What do you think the odds of Corey Waddell maintaining that 80-minute role for Manly on an edge is?
Pretty good for the next 3 to 4 weeks, I'd say. And then I don't know what is going on with Josh Schuster. I haven't heard anything about him, whether he's in New South Wales Cup or what's going on with him. If he's just, well, he signed for the Dragons next year. Is that right?
Oh, has he? The news that I heard last was that he'd basically been told to look for other options outside of Manly because he, you know, played a couple of games in New South Wales Cup and then they just basically, well, what I've seen in the media is that they don't want him anymore. But I didn't see that he signed for anywhere. That'd be a bit of a shock. So soon?
I think I'm making that up, so don't take my word for it. But
okay,
for some reason, I thought that was true. But anyway, yeah, interesting option. I've picked him up in a few draft leagues, and he's been kind of nice for me just to have an 80-minute edge, and he plays. He's got that dual too for the middle, which is nice. So I know you've put him in this week, haven't you?
Yeah,
so
pulled the trigger already.
I'm considering it for sure.
Yeah, definitely dropped a lot of cash. And now that he's secured an 80-minute role on an edge, especially with Burbo and injured and Schuster, you know, in obscurity, it's looking pretty positive for him for the next couple of weeks, which should mean that he makes a bit of cash. So, yeah, decent option to get in this week, which we can talk on a bit more later. Just touching on draft, I guess, how are you doing in your draft leagues? Just like, how'd you go over the weekend?
Here we go, talk it up. Daniel beat me by like 4 points on the weekend.
Oh yeah, league. I'm lucky.
I'm so tabu FNO. Even with no Tanner Boyd, mate.
Yeah. That's how good my team is.
Get the chocolates on me. So well done. Got me in the good bloke stakes as well this week, beating me by like 10 points in overall. So look, tough week for the boys, have to bounce back.
Yeah, I think I needed a win, to be honest, after my opening few rounds. So it's good to get it finally. Only took me 6 rounds, so I'll take them while I can get them. Okay, let's move to the teams now. So starting with the Roosters taking on the Storm on Thursday night. I'm probably not going to go through all the team lists. You can do that. They're on the Instagram. You can also just go to the NRL site and have a look for yourself. But I do want to talk about a few players for the Roosters. Obviously, Tedesco's back, so Manu's moved to centre. Means that his scores will dip, but if you've got him, he's a hold through Origin anyway. But your thoughts on Crichton? Is he a must-have this week?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I go as far to say he's a must-have, but he's a pretty good option. We've talked about him in the last couple of weeks. Old fantasy crush. He's getting those big minutes, especially now with, well, there's no Tupanua this week on this team. Seems like he should get 80 minutes again this week. And I don't know, it was nice to see as well, even though Tupanua was only on for like 3 minutes or whatever it was last week with his HIA, they took off Nat Butcher instead of Crichton last week, which was kind of good to see. So I think you've got enough signs there to be confident that he's getting this role. Like, I know I've said in previous weeks that, you know, he wasn't even in this starting team or in this team at any position.
Yeah.
At the start of the year, but yeah, I think I'm happy to back him in and take on the risk now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you just look at the interchanges that they've made. Like you said, Tupanua coming on for Butcher, even the week before he played the whole game as well. Terrell May just stayed on the bench, which was annoying if you've got both May and Crichton, but yeah, positive for Crichton, especially to make a bit of cash. So I think he's a pretty much walk in to this team, and especially considering he's been mid-50s, high-50s averaging player in the past. Like, yeah, I feel like it's a no-brainer to get him in this week if you haven't already. And moving to the Storm team as well, thoughts on their new back rower in Sean Bloor with Joe Chan named on the interchange this week?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be buying Sean Bloor if I had the option to, especially when you can go someone like a Crichton for cheaper, or you've got guys like we talk about with Waddell. Pretty good score on the weekend, to be fair, though. 70-odd with the try, a line break. He is a weapon, Sean Bloor, but that Josh Chan, on the bench there makes me nervous. So I'd maybe wait another week until, yeah, I think he's kind of just a wait and see with Sean Bloor versus pulling the trigger at this point.
Fair enough, and lucky if you've held on Josh Chan.
Josh Chan, yeah, well, I sold him last so week. Long. Of course.
Yep. Awesome. Anything else you want to talk about in this Roosters Storm game?
No, Matt, I think that covers it.
Beauty. Moving on to the Dragons and Warriors game. I guess the biggest news for the Dragons, Lomax moving into the centres to cover for Jack Bird, and Tupolotu moving on to the wing. Pretty much stock standard for the Warriors this week as well. I guess I want your take for the Warriors, really, because the Dragons, really not too much to talk about there. SJ and C&K have obviously been the two big options over the last couple of weeks. Chans especially, like, just scoring out of his mind, you know, making 300 metres a game is pretty crazy. Scoring the mid-60s, 630K for Chans. Do you think he's an option to go at winger fullback?
Yeah, Jesus. I didn't realise how big he scores on the weekend as well. He's
yeah, the stats are incredible. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate the shout, honestly. Like, he's 630, so he's expensive. He's up there with the other premiums, like your turbos and these kind of guys. But if you're interested in Chance, I say back your gut. The problem is just like, yeah, it's one of those positions like the halves. There's a lot of options you can go with. So, but yeah, he's shown the form. 300 running meters in a game is crazy. Although Joey Manu, a bit stiff, getting dropped back to centers after he broke the record for it last week, but no, I don't mind it, mate. What about yourself?
See, I'm a bit colder than yourself on Chans. Like, just, I look at last season and he had the big games like he's had over the last two rounds, but he also had the quiet games. So I'm a bit hesitant to jump on the bandwagon of Chans at the moment, just knowing that his average generally isn't that high. I don't know. It might be a case of I'm just not seeing the bigger picture. But yeah, I'm a bit cold on Chans, unfortunately.
Yeah, you might be buying him for overs, to be fair, if you're getting him now. But I don't know, the Warriors, they won't be playing Origin and stuff like that. So you should have a decent run there. Really starting to hit form, Warriors. Form.
Yeah.
SJ's looking good. He's always going to have those sweeps to DWZ and that kind of stuff and picking up try assists and good stats that way too. So I think he's a decently safe option, but I wouldn't be surprised if, yeah, in a few weeks he's back to more your kind of, I don't know, 40s, 50s versus, you know, high 60s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Sustainable.
Yeah. And I guess for when you're thinking about, you know, Origin, like you said, for the Warriors, they will be playing through it. Well, most of their players will be playing through it. I guess comparing the big halves, right? SJ to Cleary to Hines to Fogarty, you know, they're probably the big four at the moment. What are the two? Obviously, Cleary's going to be playing Origin. We don't really know what's going to happen with Hines, whether they're going to carry him on the bench. Fogarty is a Queenslander, so he could technically get picked in the team, but I don't see how he does. SJ seems like he's the only real option to have for Origin, like safe option to have. What are your thoughts around the options there.
Well, you forgot about Tommy Dearden, who's still...
I'm not forgetting. I'm definitely not forgetting.
Problem with SJ is he doesn't play 13, which is kind of annoying. The Warriors play on either sides of those, and then they play 16, but they don't play that first big buy round of round 13. But, yeah, I'm hoping that Hines doesn't get selected. Don't know how reasonable that is, but, yeah, or, you know, there's been talks of Mitch Moses, if he comes back and kind of lights it up, you know, from his foot fracture or whatever he injured as well, he could be in the team. Could go with Luai again. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, honestly. So I think I'm, like, I wouldn't be selling Hines if I had him now. Because of the thought that I think he's going to play Origin, I wouldn't be going like Hines to SJ, for example. But at the same, and I think I would still be buying Hines if I didn't have him, especially now with no Cleary for another week. He is the best option in fantasy at the moment. He's probably the best captaincy option still, I think. So I'm still pretty happy with him at the moment. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do come Origin, and that'll probably be kind of a late switch for people in that max trade week, round 13, I think, to see who gets selected and play around with it like that. Maybe it's a Hines to SJ if he gets selected or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not a bad shout. I'm thinking for round 13 to maybe slot in like a Ethan Strange or something like that into the halves, you know, just a dual position player. But then I've got to find a center, of course. So I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll figure it out when we get closer to round 13 for sure. We'll probably do a post on who the best options are for each position or something around that time as well. But let's move on to the Eels and Dolphins game, which is the Friday night, the late night game on Friday. I guess for the Eels, the one note that I had for them, I mean, the team is the same as last week, but Brendan Hands, number 18, worries me a little bit for Lusick owners, and Blaise Talungi as well gets a bench spot. So handy for the people that held on to him. What are your thoughts around those two guys?
Yeah, Lusick has been a little bit disappointing for those who got him. What, he got a meat pie last week? He almost got a second. But
yeah, did okay. He's got a 50-odd.
Yeah, so he's been kind of plugging along, but you'd probably be hoping he's been getting, you know, consistent 50s, high 50s with the try. But yeah, keep an eye out for late mail and see if Hands sneaks onto that bench, which he's kind of done a little bit throughout the last couple of weeks. And yeah, Blaise, be interesting to see what he does off the bench here. I hope it's not a situation for those who own him that he gets on for, you know, the last like 10 minutes of a game and scores three points. Which,
especially with a break even of 13, it's rough.
Yeah. So, geez, I didn't realize it was that high at 13. So he's going to be struggling to make that, I would say. So I would give him a week still, see what happens. But yeah, I'm not like super enthused on it. Blaise Talungi, what a weird trade in that was. And then now it's hurt so many people, and it's just like kind of, I guess some warning signs were there, but it was hard. He got that starting 5-8 spot. He looked all right in that game, but yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, it's because he killed it at center. Like, he played so well at center, scored a try on debut, and then BA took the punt to put him in the halves, and, you know, he played well against the Tigers. Obviously, we lost that game, but he didn't look too bad, and then he had that game against the Raiders and just got absolutely torn to shreds. They went straight through him every time, so unfortunately lost his spot, and, yeah, it's just unfortunate to get back into the team. It's a bit hard now, but, yeah, we'll see what happens in the future with Talungi. For the Dolphins, though, the Hammer, unfortunately, gone. Dunny's hammy. He'll be out for 4-6, but Trey Fuller comes in at fullback. He's not in fantasy yet, I don't believe, since...
Just
you know,
typing on my keyboard to try and figure it out. Yeah, I can't see him either.
Yep, but he did play a game at the back end of last year, scored a try in about 40 minutes of game time, and scored, I think, a 30-odd. So he might come into fantasy not at basement price, which would be very, very unfortunate. But do you think he might be a go if he's, you know, 250K or something around that price? I think if he's over 300K, you probably don't go near him, but... If he's under 300, would you give him a punt?
Look, yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about him, mate. I didn't even know he's played a game already. So you're way ahead of me in terms of knowledge on Trey Fuller, but he's playing for this Dolphins team. They're scoring a decent amount of points. Got the Eagles this week, not like a staunch defense by any means. So, yeah, I don't hate it, but I think we'll probably talk about it when the Raiders team lists come, but I probably prefer another cheapy fullback over him.
Okay. I think I know where you're going with that. But yeah, we'll wait till we get there. Let's move to the Saturday games now with the Panthers taking on the Tigers. Again, no Cleary, still recovering from that hamstring injury. So Brad Schneider's playing in the halves. Galvin's back, though, for the Tigers after his suspension. So that sees Sullivan drop out of this team. I guess there's not really too much to talk about for the Panthers. That's pretty stock standard for them. Although Sorensen is in the back row and Luke Garner's moved to the bench. So interesting to see Sorensen there. I probably wouldn't go in anyway at the moment. I'd wait to see what his minutes look like. But I guess the big question that I want to ask you is, what are your thoughts on Utuwikamanu from the Tigers? Had some big scores in the last couple of weeks, you know, bundled over for a meat pie on the weekend, but only managed, I think, a 40-odd as well. But in the weeks before that, you know, hit 60s. Yeah, 51, sorry, on the weekend. Yeah, what are your thoughts on him? 709K is a big price to pay at the moment for Big Stefano.
Big price for Big Stefano, yeah. I think you probably missed the boat with him if you don't have him at this point. There's just other guys in that 700K bracket that probably prefer over
I
him.
I'd rather go Smithies, to be honest, over him, and he's 100K cheaper.
Yeah. Or, there's a lot of options. I think you're just paying overs. Curran, yeah, he's gone up 122K. I think he'll come back down a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of hovers that mid-600s throughout the season, but I think, 51 with the try isn't that promising. Try and the line break, that's, usually not sustainable, but, these last couple of games he's had some big stats as well. So, I think just a watch, mate. If you have him, you're cheering. If you don't have him, I wouldn't be looking to bring him in.
Fair enough. And your thoughts on Coruscant? A lot of questions around him. Obviously started the season when he came in, round two after the Tigers bye. Just lit it up for the Tigers. Two big scores. And then since then, he's dropped down to 40s. Should you be worried if you're a Coruscant owner?
Yeah, it would be a little bit. And I was really keen on him too. I almost traded him in round four because, 58, 74, he looks really good. I think, you just got to hope. Tough matchup this week, obviously, against the Panthers. But maybe that's all right for Appy. He might make that up in tackles. But just kind of hope that, geez, they got the Broncos next week too. It's kind of it's a tough run for them. And then the Roosters. No, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong. Anyway, they've got a few tough games coming up. You're hoping that this draw opens up for him a little bit. Because then he plays like the Bulldogs, the Knights, a few of these teams closer to round 13. That I think that's when you're going to get some good Appy games because he's got the goal kicking. He's got those attacking stats in him too where he can, lay on a try assist and things like that. So I think if you have him, I don't know, I think I'd be holding and hoping he kind of lights it up for those big games. If you brought him in, he's not killing you. I don't know. I don't hate people trade him out too, I guess, because he's probably bleeding a little bit of cash now. I'm probably
it's
a little
kind of borderline,
bit
eh?
On the
it's
fence.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is maybe now that Galvin's back, he might improve. Like they might actually have a bit more scoring potential, I guess, the Tigers. So maybe hold one more week just to see how that pans out. But I'd be worried if I was a Coruscant owner at the moment. So, yeah, definitely have him on the potential sell list for sure. Anyone else from that game? I mean, I'm not too fussed, to be honest, with Panthers and Tigers when there's no Cleary.
Yeah, nothing else, really. I think we probably could have mentioned him in the dropping price section as well, but Johnny, he's dropped a fair bit. If he... He's one to put on the watch list as well, I think, because we know he can hit those kind of consistent 50s. He was probably a top three edge last year. So if he gets back to that, he's an interesting one as well.
Yeah, the thing was that he was playing at lock, though. Like, he was playing 80 minutes at lock, and that's what made him a must-have option, just because of the sheer amount of tackles that he was getting through the middle. Now that he's playing on an edge, solely on an edge, it's a bit, yeah, a bit how you're going, to be honest, for me. But I do have him on my watch list because I'm, you know, waiting for that moment. You know, he'll hit form at some point, and then he will have a bit of a run, and that's when you can get a bit of cash from him as well. But I'm still a little bit cautious on Bateman because of the change in role.
Still 73 break even. He could be mid 500s a couple of weeks time. That's when he's, yeah, alarm bell starts to ring off for me. Johnny, that low. Fair.
Absolutely. So let's move to the mid-afternoon game on Saturday. Titans taking on Manly. Titans unfortunate to not get a win, especially with all the stuff around the refs that's come out since the weekend. I won't go into it, but if you haven't seen it, you're probably living under a rock. Into it. you want me to go into it? Okay, well,
Dez is right.
Dez is right. Wow, I think it's a big yeah. They're just hurling abuse at both coaches at the refs at the moment. But yeah, there was a lot of calls missed. Like, even being at the game, it did feel like there was a lot of calls missed. And then Chevy Stewart being offside for Foran's drop goal from right in front is a bit of a.
The only rough thing one the refs when you were there, like.
No, everyone was...
Get some glasses, ref, or anything like that. Any of that kind of chat from you on the weekend while you were there?
No. I mean, I was impartial, remember? I'm a Parramatta fan, so definitely impartial. Not cheering for anyone.
You were cheering for the refs, the only person there.
It was a great game to watch. Everyone leaving before the end of the game just because the Raiders were up by 10. Like, it seemed like they'd had it in the bag, and then Brimson and Kelly just started lighting it up for some reason. But anyway... Let's move away from that. I'm talking fantasy options here for the Titans, and I want to start with Kieran Foran at halfback now that Tanner Boyd is no longer in this team. I don't know if you've seen his kick meter stats, but it's well over 600, and he scored a 70 on the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to take your thoughts on Kieran Foran, especially because he's just under 400K.
Yeah, wow. I didn't realize he got 600 kicking meters. That's kind of wild. Some really nice base. I think it's kind of a weird game given that they got the extra 10 minutes. He's got some try assists in this game too, which he hadn't had a single try assist in his other three games. So I think this could be an outlier score for him. I wouldn't be jumping on him straight away just because his other two scores this season are 11s. So look, there's potential here, but I think this is one where you give it a week and reassess. I wouldn't be jumping on with a one-week sample size. 37 tackles as well is
insane.
A huge outlier for him, yeah.
Normally you think a half gets 20 tackles, and like for the kick meters, I probably, if you take away the last 10 minutes, it's still probably 600 kick meters in that game, which gives him, what, about 40 in base? But yeah, I mean, obviously he doesn't get the, like you said, doesn't get the try assists often, line break assists, that kind of stuff. So I think you're right. Probably give him a week, but definitely one to keep on the radar if he maintains this half spot and can keep, you know, 40-ish plus scores going. It means he's got a bit of cash to make. What about the other Titans forwards? So Jolliffe and Randall are probably the two big winners. Randall more so than Jolliffe, I'd say, just because Randall played the entire game, like played the full 90 minutes, scored a 70, all in pretty much base, made 61 tackles, which is pretty insane. And when Verrills comes on to take that hooker spot, he just moves to lock Randall. So looks like he's got a similar role to what he had last year. The only thing that I'm a bit hesitant about is the fact that he played 70 minutes last week and only managed a 27 in huge minutes. So yeah, there's warning signs, but at the same time, looks pretty positive as well.
He kind of has one of these big games each year, I feel like, where he makes, yeah, crazy amount of tackles, he got some minutes. I am just so kind of hesitant with any of these Titans players because I just know it can change last week. Like, I wouldn't have thought last week that Tanner Boyd would have been dropped, even though I was all for it. But I just wouldn't have picked it. You know, Jojo Fifita's in this team this week. Philip Sammy's named at fullback. It's all a bit, I don't know. They're experimenting. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a completely different team next week. So that makes me hesitant to go with almost any of these guys. Jolliffe doing some good things for my draft team, but pretty hesitant to bring him in a classic sense as well, just because he's made up a decent amount of cash kind of plugging along. He's 600 odd K, so, or 500s, but I think I'm gonna pass on all of them, and if they, I just don't think they're gonna really hurt you, and like if you miss them, I don't think they're really gonna hurt you, but I don't hate like going the risk of it, but just know that there is that risk.
Yeah, I think there is points and cash to be had there, but you're a brave man if you if you pick up
the crystal ball
multiple.
Out.
Yeah, it's especially, I mean, the, if you somehow navigate it and pick the right player and they, you know, brain it, fair enough, fair play to you, but it's so risky and it's hard to pick what this team will look like week in, week out. I guess with Campbell gone now, Philip Sammy does also stand to gain a bit, and when he has played fullback previously, he has been a bit of a gun, but at 500K, it's a very risky play as well, Philip Sammy.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame for Jane Campbell Evans, because what? Yeah. Like a 70 or something the week before? He looked good.
Another player I'm going to trade out.
Yeah. And I think if you're a Jane Campbell owner, at least what I'm doing this week, I'm just going down to Chevy Stewart and kind of making some upgrades elsewhere. I'm not sure how you feel about that, but, or, you
hate
know,
it, but
some
that's
people.
Okay.
Some people maybe don't have Eero from the Sharks still. Going from a Jane Campbell down to him is a pretty good play, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be looking at Philip Sammy though, especially he only seems to have 4 or so weeks in this team. I think NRL Physio put something out that Jane Campbell is expected to miss around 4. So
yeah. Fair enough. Righto, the only one that I had for Manly is obviously Burbo's out, so he's, what, probably a sell, in your opinion? Well, definitely a sell, in your opinion?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. And he's kind of peaked in price, too. I think it's time for Burbo.
Perfect timing, really, yeah.
Although, I don't, like, you can use him as a loop, which is kind of nice. Like, my team's looking all right this week where I don't really need to trade.
Okay.
I don't know. I could make a third trade and trade Burbo out if I wanted to. Or I can use him as a loop. So I think I'm going to just hold tight with him this week. And then, I don't know, hopefully we get a good cheapie next week or something like that, that it makes more sense to move him on.
Fair. And I guess the player that's replacing him, we already touched on him, Corey Waddell. In your opinion, what do you think, if Corey, I think I looked at the stats, he averages in the mid-40s at second row, but that was mainly at the Bulldogs where he played in the back row. Now that he's at Manly this season, probably has a bit better chances of, you know, getting more meters, attacking stats, as well as, you know, getting the regular base stats. Do you think he stands to gain a good 100K on where he's currently at?
Oh, a good 100K.
Just 100K plus, I guess. Yeah.
I think he does. 48 and 52 the last 2 weeks. He's playing big minutes in this pack now. I think, he stands to gain a decent amount of cash. They've got, a few guys on this bench that have played through the edge role traditionally. Like Carl Lawton's played a little bit there. Bull Moore's played a little bit there. But I think he's due for big minutes and wouldn't be surprised if he gets that 80. So, I think he's not a bad shout, mate. And I don't know, I'm not sure what the kind of temperature is on Burbo, whether he, you know, even if he comes back in 4 weeks, is he straight back into this edge spot? I'm not 100% sure. He might have to kind of work his way back into this team. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Corey Waddell get a bit more of an extended run and potentially rest of the year, honestly. Ooh, so
I'd love that. That'd
be nice. I think it's an all right shout and probably a risk worth taking.
Right, a percentage confidence that he's a must-have.
Oh, I just... must-have is... it's a strong term. Maybe this is my lawyer where I just like, I don't like to be too certain on anything, you know.
No one's a must-have.
Likely, whatever. I don't think he's a must-have, but... and he's... like, I'd probably prefer going guys like Angus Crichton and stuff like that. He's probably Maybe like the third or fourth best target this week, I would say.
Oh, okay. So it's a bit down your list. Okay, fair enough.
Down my list, yeah. But don't hate the move.
Awesome. Let's move through these last couple of games so we can get to some questions. So I guess the next game is the last Saturday game, Broncos taking on the Raiders. Broncos, not too much to talk about. I think the one thing I'll touch on for them is that you've got a host of names coming back into the team with Pia Cora, Haas, and Reynolds all being available next week. So I will pose the question to you. Xavier Willison, is he a buy still with the forward pack, you know, coming back into shape from next round?
Look, I don't hate the move, honestly, because I think he still finds a way onto this team. Or even if he, you know, is dropped for 2-3 weeks, he's going to be a pretty handy number over that origin period, you think, for him, when they probably rest some of these guys, like Payne Haas or, you know, a Pat Carrick, can help Pat Carrigan. aneurysm. But yeah, I don't mind it. He's got a negative break even coming into this week, or at least a low one. Yeah, so you know, it's a pretty low risk in that sense. He's gonna make you some money, and he looked good. He's huge. That was funny where they just put him 1-on-1 with Nick Arima there, about 2 meters out from the line. He just kind of
he's dived over there pretty much.
But I think he's just looked really good too. So he's passed the eye test.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's just, yeah, there is that risk that he comes out, and it's also that risk. I think a lot of people are still running people like Salmon or whoever these other guys
use.
Getting like 30s and maybe 40s if you're lucky. He's kind of in that boat too, where, yeah, he's probably floors 30-ish, and then more likely kind of in that, you know, if all goes well, in that 40 to 50 range, which is maybe what people don't need in their team at the moment.
Yep, fair enough. And I guess for the Raiders team, obviously a ton of players that I feel like most people have 3 or 4 Raiders still in their team. But I might just get your quick opinion on each of them if we go through them. So I already know your opinion on Chevy Stewart, but I mean, I'll do it just for the sake of doing it. So quick one-liner on each player. So Chevy Stewart.
In on him. Yeah, he's got the role. Standard run. I think lock him in.
James Schiller.
Keep scoring tries. I don't know. Every week scores a double. So he keeps making money, but I'm hesitant with him. Just because now he's made that money, I think you've probably missed the boat.
Fair. Ethan Strange.
Hold.
Jamal Fogarty.
Sheeran looks really good.
Would you buy Jamal Fogarty if you don't have him already?
No. Just, even though he's been killing me, he scored what he was pretty much the best scorer in fantasy last week.
Yeah.
We'll be holding until we get close to around 13. I don't think he makes much more money than he already is now. Like, I think he kind of hovers around this mark. So I think it'll be a reassess close to 13 if guys like Hines or Cleary, well, if Hines, it might be like a Hines to Fogarty, honestly, come around 13 for me is what I'm kind of thinking in the back of my mind.
Depending on, who's named. Yeah,
depending on origin and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, fair. Danny Levi.
Just keep scoring tries, Danny. Keep getting those meat pies. But I think you'd be pretty safe to jump off him now if you wanted to. I'm keeping him in for at least another week just because I've got other fires to put out. Hopefully he gets another try this week. But yeah, that's kind of
my, otherwise a sell.
Yeah, 18 points with no try. That's kind of what he's. That's what he is.
Yeah, and last one, Morgan Smithies.
Part of me thinks he missed the boat with it, but yeah, he should have another, month or so with no Big Red there as well.
He's looking good. Big Red's out for a good 6 to 8 weeks still, so yeah.
So, yeah, don't hate it, but I think he's lower down the pecking order when you've got guys like Crichton and even Waddell. I'd probably go with Dell over going for Smithies at this point.
Okay, fair enough. Righto, let's move to the Sunday game. So the first Sunday game is the Bulldogs taking on the Knights. I guess for the Bulldogs, Hutchison, he's probably capped out. Interesting that Sherry has been named again at centre. I'm not going to really talk too much about these outside backs because they're so risky at the moment, any of them. But I guess the two players from each team that I want to get your temperature on, because we obviously know we're holding Hughes and Sam, you know, those guys, Curran and KPP, who do you think the better option is out of those two? And do you think it's too late to go for either of them at this point?
Wow, big questions. And I don't even know if I have a great answer for you. That's kind of hard, yeah, because they both have gone up a decent amount of cash. I think I probably lean slightly to KPP over Curran if you're picking one of them. He had a really good score on the weekend, KPP, which was nice. Even that score he had, yeah, like his last couple of weeks have been really good, strong base. And I think he hasn't quite hit his ceiling yet. Like he hasn't been getting heaps of attacking stats. So I think it could improve. Curran, the Bulldogs pack has some injuries. That's my kind of concern with him. Like Max King's on this extended bench. You wouldn't be surprised if they do some kind of reshuffling and that affects Curran's minutes. But he keeps doing his thing. Part of me thinks you've maybe missed the boat, and I would be prefer guys like Crichton or something like that, or I'd be waiting until, you know, Nicara, maybe giving him another week and looking for a fallen gun. Because I think you are maybe paying a little bit overs for them, but you're paying, you know, kind of like current price versus getting them at value at this point. So I don't know if that helps people, hopefully.
Yeah, take what you will out of that that spiel there.
You're just talking in circles.
Right, let's just move on to the last game of the round, the Sharks taking on the Cows. Only one I have for you here is the comparison between Chester and Kayal Iro. Who do you think the best centre to go is, and would you take either of them?
He's taken Iro, for sure. I think it's kind of promising that Talakai's on this bench. He looks like he's won this centre spot, and they're going to kind of move Talakai around to suit him, which is really nice. Who knows? He could drop out of this team next week. Kind of hard to say. Tom Chester also looked really good, I thought, on the weekend. So kind of annoying that he's just winger fullback. Otherwise,
no, he's actually dual position.
Oh, wow,
now.
That's
yeah,
great.
Because they did the updates just a couple hours ago, actually. So he got the dual winger fullback center.
Wow, I didn't even know that they'd done the update. So that's great news. 44 points. I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good. So I don't hate the move for Tom Chester. He's still under 400K. It's his position to lose now. He could have it for the rest of the year. He's got that jewel now, which is nice. So I'd be preferring Iro, but I think Tom Chester's maybe the next best centre buy out of this week.
Awesome. Well, that concludes the teams. Thanks for that, Josh. Let's move into our Q&A. So if you ever want to submit a question, head to our Instagram page at FootyBrainsPod. We put up a story every week before we record on a Tuesday, straight after team list, so you can you can ask your questions there, and we'll answer them now. First question from Jakey: who do I get in for Burbo?
Good question. I'd be looking at guys like Crichton. It's not too hard to go with Dill from Burbo as well, which I don't mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd be kind of looking to upgrade into one of these mid-price edge roles, or going down to a Chevy Stewart, or maybe even Trey Fuller if he gets named and he's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate going Iro or Chester either.
Yeah, if you need that,
you haven't got either of those.
Cover.
If you need a center,
yeah.
I think that's where everyone's kind of had Burbo, right? Just plugging a center spot because there hasn't really been tons of options. So
yeah.
Hopefully
you can kind of get some Ethan Strange back in there, or you've got Iro as well.
Yeah.
I think if you're running Iro and Strange, you might not even need another center. I'd be happy to roll with those guys.
Yeah, you'd be pretty happy if you had that at the moment, I think. Next question is Cleary's still a hold if I need cash for other areas. This is exactly the position that I'm in.
You're applying to
No. It's not from me, I swear. Maybe it is. Anyway, Cleary, what are we doing?
As I messaged you last night, mate, I think you've made your bed. Just suck it up now. Like, you've gone this long without him. He's going to be a pod next week, pretty much, which is a really dangerous prospect when he plays the Tigers. He plays the Tigers this week, which is a really annoying one that he probably would have done well. Well, he plays the Cowboys next week, who have been letting in like 40 points a game. So I would say hold Cleary at this point. Yeah, that's where I would lean. But give us your thoughts, mate. You're the owner. You've got more invested and more emotions around this.
I have many emotions around this question. I don't need a half. I don't need to trade Cleary out to get like someone in because I've got Hines and Dill Brown at the moment. But SJ is just killing it at the moment, and I think I'm going to need him for Origin, for the Origin period anyway. So my thinking is just get him in now, bite the bullet, and yeah, it'll be better in the long run to have SJ just because he's scoring just crazy amounts of points. He's the top scoring player in fantasy currently. So yeah, that's where my head's at currently.
Okay. Yeah, don't hate it.
But I hate myself for doing it. That's for sure.
Get that on the big jobs.
I don't know. I still might change my mind before lockout Thursday. We'll see what happens. But I can't really answer that question really. Is Cleary a hold or do you sell now at this point? Like, it's up to you, I think. question from Callum. Bloor or Crichton?
Crichton.
Easy. Other question from Callum. Is Zach Lomax a buy as a bit of a pod option?
Well,
say he's a pod at the moment, right?
You didn't get named this week,
did 3%. Lomax is Lomax at the moment for Jackbird. Wait, did I say someone else?
Did you say Hosking or did I just imagine that? You might have said Hosking.
I think you might have imagined
that. Oh, maybe I'm imagining that.
Did I? Okay, I don't know. I'll have to listen to it back. Lomax, though.
He's an interesting pod. Obviously been scoring really well. But, yeah, I just think there's better options.
He's so expensive now as well. Yeah. If you picked him up from the start of the season, good on you. Like, averaging 51 is crazy. Now that he's moved to the centres, do you reckon he'll score that well still? I don't know. Like, he's probably not going to score as many tries as he did on a win.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah, that's been part of his score. He's been getting bulk tries on that wing. So,
yeah,
I would probably avoid him, but... And like, okay, there's going to be a point where the Dragons drop off. They've got, what, 3 wins so far? I wouldn't be surprised if they finish the season with 5 wins kind of thing. So I think there's point where the Dragons, especially the back half and kind of over this Origin period, struggle. So kind of waiting for the ball to drop on them. But we'll see.
Fair. Especially considering he's coming to Parramatta next year. I'll happily let him fall off this season. question from Brendan. Hammer to Phil Sammy. Is that a good trade?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this. Yeah, it's just risky. Yeah. He's only going to get 4 weeks there. He's got some good scores there. Wouldn't be surprised if he comes out, gets the high 50s or a 60, something like that. But I'd be looking at people with more job security and going to make you cash versus, a quicker points grab.
Yeah, could go Tom Chester, just a makeshift winger fullback, make you a bit of cash, I guess.
Yeah.
Or try to get, a gun in if you can trade up to a Ponga or something like that. Yeah, not a bad shout. But yeah, definitely the Hammer is a sell, because I can see another question here from Brendan. Is he a sell or a hold? But he's definitely a sell.
Thanks, mate. So with Origin coming up as well, you think he still gets that spot there in the centres? So I think he's...
Yeah, exactly. Go. Question from Billy. Who's the best edge for about 600k max? I was thinking Ewan Aitken. Well, first of all, I wouldn't put Ewan Aitken in as an edge. He's useful as a center because he's playing on an edge at the moment for the Dolphins. If I was getting an edge for 600k, I know exactly who you're going to say.
I'm going to say Crichton.
Yeah, exactly. Good. he's the same name that we've been saying for the last hour of this recording.
Ewan Aitken's injustice. He's been great.
Yeah, exactly. We did say when he comes into that edge role, he would, you know, play 80 and score well. But, like, you just didn't know how long he was going to be there for with Lemuelu around the corner as well. But it looks like he's struggling to come back from that knee injury, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen any news on him. I'm not sure when he's due back, but...
Yeah.
I thought it was, going to be, you know, a month or so of Ewan Aitken not. But he's played, six weeks now? Yeah.
So. Yeah. Pretty crazy. A question from Harry. Thoughts on Foran? We've already discussed him. Bit of a risk, but give him a week or two to see how it pans out. Question from Max. Should I buy Garrick, RTS, or Cobbo out of those center options? That's a hard one.
That is a hard one. Cobbo had a good game on the weekend. I just think center's not the position where you want to be paying up at this point. I think there's just value elsewhere. So I guess there's maybe people who have lost Burbo or something like that. I'd be more tempted to go down to a Chester or just run with your Strange and Iro combination, because that's what a lot of people are going to be doing. And then with that extra cash that you have banks, you can make your moves up to your SJs or your Crichtons or your, I don't know, KPPs, whoever you want to go to. That's probably how I'd be playing it.
Yeah, absolutely fair. But I guess just to answer Max's question, if you were to put those three in order.
Okay, so what we got? Cobbo, what are the other two?
Garrick and Roger.
Maybe I'd go Roger, Cobbo, Garrick.
Yeah, I think I'd go Cobbo, Roger, Garrick. So Garrick last and then take your pick between Cobbo and Roger. There you go. Question from Anna. Choosing between Terrell May and KPP, who would you go? Jeez, that's a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
May's just so good, but he's on the bench. Like, he's always coming off the bench, so it's always a risk. You never know what kind of minutes he's going to get. Whereas KPP, you know he's going to get 80.
Yeah, I guess in that situation, maybe I prefer KPP. You get him a little bit cheaper. Looks like he's got 80 minutes on this edge locked in. And yeah, as I was saying, I think he's got some kind of attacking potential that we haven't quite seen yet. So I'm optimistic that there's still better days to come for him potentially.
Fair.
Hasn't scored a try yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. That's pretty surprising, to be honest, because watching him play, he hits the line so hard. But anyway.
Yeah.
God, there's lots of questions we've already answered. Campbell Lascelles, yes. Sean Bloor, we've already talked about him, and Waddell as well. Question from Liam, is Kaufusi a sell? That's an interesting one. I haven't really thought about Kaufusi at all, to be honest, but he does have a hamstring injury and he's out of the Dolphins team. I think it's only a 2 or 3 weeker, but I mean, Felice Kaufusi, he hasn't really been fantasy relevant.
Felice versus Oregon, 100%.
Yeah, I assume Felice. Oregon hasn't really been relevant at all, right?
I don't know. No. I would say Felice hasn't been relevant either, but
they both are irrelevant. So yeah, probably yourself. righto. Question from Jacinta. I love Jacinta's now on our review pod every week. So we've just started a review pod. If you haven't listened to that, go back and watch that. Listen to that episode. But I love that she still asks questions. It's great. How many trades is a healthy amount of trades to have at the moment? I have used every single trade since the start of the season. I don't know how you're traveling, but I think it doesn't matter too much yet.
Yeah, I think you can still go for it. Would you be making three this week if you've made... Well, you are. You're making three this week, even if you've gone max all the way. I've saved two so far. And then, I don't know. I think I might just make two this week as well. So I'm trying to kind of save them so I can make a bit more of a splurge for this Origin and bye week period.
Yeah.
So what? But I don't know. I think it's a little bit too early to start thinking about it.
Yeah.
A little bit. So it's more like...
I mean, if you've got Origin over 25, I think you're pretty happy. You're doing better than everyone else. I've only got 23. So yeah, if you're 25 or over, I think you're doing pretty well. Mate, I think that's pretty much it. We've kind of talked about all of these players.
Look at this game.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, actually, one that is kind of interesting. Question from Jordan. Wade Egan, a decent buy. I saw that Egan had a huge score. The only thing that I have against Egan is his concussion history. And the fact that he, yeah, regularly has to come off the HIAs.
Yeah, did have that inflated 90-minute game too.
Yeah.
But he's been playing 80 minutes, which is pretty rare now for hookers. I think he's an all right shout, but yeah, there is that risk baked in with him. And he's been doing it without any really attacking stats too, which is really nice to see. Last year he had a bit of a run where he was just scoring. He was, you know, Danny Levi-ing it up. And that was how he was getting his big scores. But this season he's getting it pretty much all in base. But yeah, a little bit risky, but don't hate it. Kind of like a chance chat, honestly.
Yeah, that's fair. And one final question, because it's a bit of an open one. Jay has 800k to spend on any player. He's thinking of going Ponga, DCE, or Grant. What would you be spending that 800k on?
Oh, geez, that's tough. That's a nice luxury to have.
Yeah. 800k.
So what are his options? Grant, Ponga, and who else?
And DCE. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah, it's a lot of cash, and it's also a pretty hard question. It's like, it's kind of hard to go wrong. I'd be looking at your team. If you don't have many halves, I'd probably go in DCE. If you don't have any winger fullbacks, lock in Ponga. That's probably how I'd be handling looking at whichever position is weakest out of all of them, because they're all obviously up there for a reason and pretty much like their best two or three players in that position.
Yeah, fair. Although, I mean, you don't really want to miss the boat on Ponga at the moment. I feel like I didn't have him in my team and I'm ruining not going him from round one now. So I think if I had to choose between those three players, I'd go Ponga, but I get where you're coming from. Like, you kind of need to look at your team as a whole and decide to where to balance your team.
I'm going to be the most interesting to watch. So yeah, do that.
Yeah.
More fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to think about that as well. Fantasy is a game at the end of the day. You kind of want to watch your players do well at the same time. But then again, Ponga can give you a bunch of headaches because he also gets HIAs regularly, and he had that hip pointer as well over the weekend. Yeah, so another thing to consider.
Good point.
Anyway, that's it, Josh. Any imparting words for the listeners?
Yes. Good luck. Do well. Be good at it. And hope you brain it.